Powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. Switch today. Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
What's happened is we've expanded rapidly in the last few years. And in essence, we can no longer afford that investment, but we retain significant numbers of people in the community cricket department, but probably in different functional roles. So we have cricket managers, we have coach and talent managers, and we have facilities and infrastructure specialists. So in essence, we've got a different mix of capability and skill to support the community, but we don't have a team of all-rounders who did a wonderful job over a long period of time.
Andrew Ingleton having a chat on Gerard Whateley's program earlier today about the structural shift in cricket. Andrew Ingleton being the CEO of Cricket Victoria. Test and one-day cricket great Dean Jones has been good enough to join me again. Welcome to you, Dino. Great to have you back.
Thanks, Dino. Yep. Good news as well. We can play golf. Thank God we can do something at our age.
Booked your tee time for Wednesday already, have you?
Oh, we'll do something. You know, just got to get me out of the house. But it's good to see that we're starting to open up a little bit. And I'll tell you what, Mr. Whateley didn't miss Mr. Ingleton at all. It was a very interesting interview. And when Gerard lined you up, you could tell he was a little bit nervous the way he answered it. But he probably lacked a little bit of sympathy and not quite empathetic enough to, or compassionate enough about losing 65 of their staff, or as he called it, 36%. But we don't know what their staff cuts are. They haven't told us. It hasn't been made public. And I don't know why.
So do you think that the clarity of all this is what's needed for starters? That's where the start base needs to be. Okay, what exactly, open it all up so everybody can actually read it and see it rather than have to have Gerard Whateley probe with his questioning to try and uncover it?
Yeah, I look at the communication skills, probably right from Cricket Australia right down, hasn't been great, has it? And to be under the pump, I couldn't imagine doing Ingleton's job at CEO, but and he is under the pump, there's no doubt about it, but they just need to just, look, this is it. This is what we've dealt with. It's the biggest crisis we've had probably since the Second World War. And we've got to deal with it. Could they have done things differently? Well, we're about to find out. They've put themselves into this position. But for your listeners, in the last couple of years, we had a new broadcast rights deal. And it gave the state associations a lot of money. A lot of money. And they invested that into community programs. And they put their money into staff to try to run these programs. Now, it's left to the members, whether it be Premier Cricket or Country Cricket or the Cricket Associations, now up to you now to run it. And does some of the kids slip through the cracks under that current system? Does AFL now start to pick up these kids that we probably could have picked up through these programs? And that's what I've been worried about. I'm worried about the AFL influence on our kids because they're picking our best athletes.
So cricket looked to be going okay when Eddie was involved, Jason Dunster was involved, the Stars and the Renegades had big sponsorship packages as well. We looked to be going pretty well. It's not able to be fixed the way it's been cut right back, though, Dino, immediately. I mean, this is a long-time fix. They're going to have to get right step by step now. It's not like you can flick a switch back again.
Yeah, spot on. Geez, it puts some pressure on us now to get the Indians out here now, doesn't it? And $300 million they claim that the series will have. Well, that includes having crowds, et cetera, to go there, I would have thought. I don't think it's going to get that amount of money. But it's a huge problem. There's no doubt about it, and it's not an easy one. And would you have borrowed it? They've got up to $11 million in property, commercial property, Cricket Victoria. Would you have borrowed against it and kept the staff? That might have been risky, but Cricket Victoria have gone the really super conservative view and cut everyone back, and everyone's lost their, 65 people have lost their jobs, sadly, and the specialist coaches and the people who run the programs. And the two biggest costs of this, Dwayne, the players. That's one of our biggest costs, the Victorian players, women and men, And also the fact of running these community programs. Now, for example, our under-15s and under-17s and the deaf teams, et cetera, blind teams, a lot of them have two teams in the competition, not one team, but two. And Cricket Victoria pays for all that. And how far does that cut back? Was the community programs a soft target instead of the other staff being taken? But, you know, would you, if you're a kid now, would you rather play AFL footy under this situation, what we've got here, and leave it up to clubs to run Dowling cricket under 16s or Hatch cricket under 14s? In the past, they haven't done a great job. They really haven't been able to identify a talent. But can you tell me if AFL are cutting back their talent identifiers and their talent pathways at all? Are they?
Well, they are. They are, but I don't think they haven't cut it back as far, and they've cut it to the point that they're ready to propel it again as soon as that moment comes. So I think most businesses that are in a situation, I mean, cricket in Australia, the way I'm reading it, have kind of prepped themselves for the worst case scenario, and a lot of businesses have prepped themselves ready to go for the best case scenario, so when they get to open their doors, they can go bang. Now, I'm not sure, is cricket in that situation where they've pulled it back too far? Are they in a situation where when it opens up again, they can actually accelerate to the fact that they can make up some of this ground more quickly? Or do you think they're in a situation where it's going to be more difficult because they've pared it back too far?
Well, it's like cutting back. I've got a lemon tree at the back and I reckon I cut her back a little bit too hard and she hasn't given me the fruit I want.
Yeah. That's where you reckon cricket's at?
I probably is, sadly. And the assets belong to not Cricket Victoria. These commercial properties, they are actually belong to the Victorian cricket members, like the Premier Cricket, Country Cricket and all that. It belongs to them. It's up to them, not the administration, to vote for what we do with our money. Now, question mark is in 4 or 5 years' time. Cricket might be gone. If we have another outbreak, God forbid we have another outbreak or something happens, and I'll listen to Jeff Kennett saying, if we don't play footy by this time next year, AFL will be gone.
Yeah.
So it's raining. We are in a crisis. We need good management. But for me, I always thought you look after the kids and the clubs and help them produce the players, because ultimately, sooner or later, a Shane Warne will come through, or a Paul Reith or Damien Fleming or any of these young guys coming over, Aaron Finch, Maxwell come through, and that will repay you back in tenfold. But we've got to actually get those young kids away from the greedy hands of the AFL, because we want to have them playing cricket rather than playing footy.
So what are you going to do, Deno? Are you going to get yourself involved?
Oh, look, I'll tell you one thing. I've always loved what Cricket Victoria's done for me. I'm quite happy to do things for nothing for them. But the question mark is, the next question is, players' wages. There have been a handful of players in first-class cricket who are not playing for Australia that earn over $300,000. $300,000 and you don't play for Australia? We got to have the best get paid the most money, and the other guys, well, they've just got to come through. But I just don't think first-class players and guys just playing domestic ODIs and a couple of T20s for their clubs should be earning $300,000 a year, like in front of no crowds. I just don't get that.
So that's going to be the first thing that has to change. That will change, though. That's already ready to be changed.
Probably.
Already...
have to go back to the day when we played. You know, I'm supposed to tell you, like when in the halcyon days at the end of the 80s, I wasn't earning any more than $40,000 or $50,000 a year. And we had 18% interest on mortgages back then, you know.
Yep.
So you just got to work out that everyone has to pull back, and the players have got to do it, and staff's got to do it. But you know what? There's so many great volunteers out there. There's so many people just love the game, and there's always that one John Bullpit in every club, where it'll be a football club or a cricket club, that does everything, and he's just got a smile on his face, meeting people and seeing young guys go through and follow their careers. And we've just got to get back to the clubs taking a little bit more control and not be lazy and identify on their own right, identify their best young kids, have their Dowling, their under 14 cricket, and push them through without the helping hand from Cricket Victoria. They're just going to have to do it tough for a while, like everyone else is right now.
So you worry cricket will drop back to the point that it was and has been forever, the dominant summer sport in this country. You mentioned losing players to the AFL, but is there a chance that basketball and soccer, when it comes to boys and when it comes to women, women have got a choice of 7 or 8 sports now, which they didn't have once upon a time.
Yeah, it is, which is great, isn't it? When we played, Dwayne, there wasn't that many options around, was there, when we played our sport?
You played cricket or tennis in the summer, that was about it.
That was about it. And you always drive in the country. How many tennis courts do you see in the country? And no one uses them.
Yeah.
But the fact is that you're right. There's so much competition for spots, et cetera. But when you get an opportunity to play for your state, when you play for your opportunity to play for your country, and you get on a plane, the front end, not the back end, the front end, and you stay at 5-star hotels, go around the world. When you know you're playing in World Cups nearly every year now, Ashes series every 2, India nearly once every year. Gee, it's a great life to be a cricketer if you're good enough and you're willing to make the sacrifices to get through.
So India coming here, we could get some crowds later in the year. Do you think that would be the way back? That's the way back.
Yeah. I've been reading up a little bit on this, Dwayne, about crowds. How can we get crowds back? Can we have proper masks now? Not the 40-cent or, you know, the $2 variety. Can we buy a $40 mask that completely covers your face and you can have your club colours on it?
Yeah.
I've only just been thinking about, you know, it would be Carlton on your mask or your favourite player, Cripps or something. But, and you could sit, you know, one seat away. You know, I hear there's a lot of discrepancies and differences between the cheap masks, which are were not effective compared to the real good ones. And you can go and watch the game. As a player, I'd rather have some people there than none. That's for sure. You know, and people say maybe 30,000 at a. I think Jeff Kennett was talking about 30,000 people at a grand final, but I'd rather play in front of 30,000 than play in front of no one. So we've got to gradually bring them back and then train people up to actually go to sporting or music events, etc. And this is why you're going to have to enjoy them for the time being.
Dino, always good to have a chat to you and really appreciate you jumping on the phone and having a chat again today. And we'll keep in touch.
All right, Dino. Good talking, mate. Take care.
Test and one day cricket great Dean Jones joining us. Your calls next, 1300 736 736, on the open line thanks to Werribee Kia. They're open for business at Werribee Kia. Still take your car down there to get it serviced, or if you're in the market for a new car, drop down and see their new car range at Werribee Kia. Aid and Janan and the team would love to see you. Your calls on the Werribee Kia open line next, 1300 736 736.